You are listening to messages from Victory Outreach in the city of Whittier. We pray that you are inspired, challenged, and provoked to become all that God has called you to be. For daily insight, please log into victoryoutreachwhittier.org.
We will be finishing this series, Best for Success. And so if you'd open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Remember, if you remember back, we began this series and we started with verse 18. And I had told you that we were going to start the series with verse 18 and we would end this series with verse 18. How many of you remember that? Since 1967, you remember that? Okay. Praise the Lord. See, because my role, not as a teacher, but as a spiritual father of the house, is to be able to make sure that everybody is maturing and growing. And it's a challenge. But if we take our time and dissect God's word, then we're able to apply God's word to our lives. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray once again, Father, you would anoint me. Everything you placed in my heart to minister, help me to articulate it in a way that would provoke, inspire, and challenge your people. I pray for those watching online, God, in all the different states and countries that are represented that tune in, whether they watch it live or on demand. I pray you minister to them, you speak to them. And we thank you for your precious word today in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen. Well, we're going to finish our series on the armor of God. And so because of that, we'll go ahead and start in verse 10. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 10 and read through, which we've already covered over a period of time, but we'll begin to talk today from verse 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Somebody say, full armor of God. Today we're coming to the last piece. So that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Now, we've broken all this down. That's what I'm just reading through. Over the period of time we've been on this series. And after you have done everything to stand. And then it says again, stand. Continue to gives us that word to stand, not to be moved. Stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here we come to our verse, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I want you to catch this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, or at all times. Come on, at all times. And then he goes into being a little bit more specific with all kinds of prayers. Now, I love the NIV because some of your translations say it a little different. And the NIV gets as close to the Greek in the sentence structure as any other translation that's out there. And it says, with all kinds of prayers. Now, that's interesting, all kinds of prayers. That means there's different types of prayers. We're going to talk about that. And requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always, then he says it again, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Like in Luke 18:1, it says, men ought always to pray and faint not. Or if you don't pray, you're going to get weary. Now, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. When we're looking at the armor, the pieces of armor, And you named the pieces of armor. We've went through six of them so far. And when you think of a Roman soldier and you do a little research, you see movies and everything, there's one piece of armor that an offensive weapon that is not mentioned here. And so I looked through all the different commentaries, of course, just like you have, and I did a lot of research. And what's missing is the spear that the Roman soldiers had. Now, over the different emperors that they've had and the different rulers in Rome, it changed. They had two different types of spears, like they had two different types of swords. They had a smaller one for close combat, like a dagger. They had the bigger sword for fighting. Just like that, they had two types of spears. Paul goes in and he talks about prayer. He doesn't actually use the phraseology or the term the lance or the spear. He just goes straight in and talks about prayer. And then I started thinking about this and praying and looking. And then I realized that there's two different types. Over a period of time, they ended up with two different types of spears. They had a shorter one that sometimes they could attach to the shield. And that was for closer combat. Then they had a long one that they used to be able to throw. And it was balanced perfectly. And I thought about, isn't that just like prayer? Prayer is like the spear that you and I have to keep the enemy from getting too close to us. So when you ain't praying, the enemy's all over you. And when you're in prayer, it keeps the devil away. Huh? And so I want to talk to you about that today, about prayer. We're going to come to this, the power of prayer, the importance of prayer. And how the role that it plays in our lives. In Ezekiel, before we get too deep into this, I want to read something to you. It's not on the, we're not going to put it up on the screens or anything like that, but I want you just to hear me with your hearts. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, this is something heavy. It says this. This verse begins with, I sought, God is speaking through the prophet in Ezekiel, and he says, I sought. And then the other modern translation says, God is saying, I am looking for. Someone to stand in the gap. God's always looking for somebody who will be a prayer warrior and be able to make a difference in people's lives. And then in Isaiah 59, verse 16, it says, and God saw that there was no man, and he wondered why there was no intercessor. So what we need to do is be a praying people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I want to talk to you about the importance of prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. And I said, okay, we're going to talk about prayer. And I've been saved coming up now in November. This November, I think, is 36 years. 36 years, can you imagine? I came to Victory Outreach when I was 1 year old. If you're old, because it's my birthday, if you're wondering, I got out of the home when I was 1 year old. Okay. Add a few decades, amen. But the point is this. Prayer equals longevity. Prayer makes all the difference in the world. There's a lot of things you can say about prayer, but I'm going to mention a few, and then we're going to break it down and talk about how it deals with warfare. But if there's anything I learned that has kept me and in the evil day and in the days of tragedy and the days of heartache and the 8 days of disappointment in the hard times, I've learned how to just get a hold of God. I learned how to just get a hold of God and not let my emotions govern my life, because your emotions will lead you to a wreck. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so that's the importance of a Christian. And so Paul is finishing all the weapons. So this will be the seventh. And seven in the number of numerology, the study of numerology, is completion and perfection. So he's saying if you really want to have victory and success, then not only do you got to have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shut, all the other things that we went took time and talked about, but you got to be a praying person. Say amen. Amen. Prayer is like breathing. It's your spiritual breath. Prayer will bring change to situations and circumstances. How many of you have experienced that? Say amen. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody and eventually you see God do the work that you're praying for? Say amen. Amen. Not only does it change circumstances and open doors, but it also helps change us. Prayer gives life. Somebody asked me, what is praying? Prayer is just having a conversation with God. It's pouring out your heart to Him. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before Him, for God is our refuge. Prayer is also worship. When you spend time with God, prayer is worship. It's an act of worship to a living God. The moment you turn prayer into a ritual, like you have to do it, you're losing the act of worship. Prayer is our spiritual strength. I have learned in my life all these years that prayer is the key to victory. Come on. Prayer is the key. Now, the importance of prayer is this. The Bible says there that for our struggle, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against, and it names the demonic forces that you and I deal with. So the only way you could defeat an unseen enemy is through prayer. Prayer is the key weapon that you and I have against the enemy, because a lot of times what the devil tries to do is pour water on your prayer life, because he knows if he can stop you from praying, apathy is going to set in. Complacency is going to happen in your life, and then you won't be sensitive anymore to the things that you were once sensitive and things you cared about, people and other things. Then pretty soon you start moving away from other-centered to self-centeredness. Pretty soon, the only one you really care about is yourself, and you become less spiritual, and you become less loving and less caring, and then all of a sudden you become more critical, and you become more cynical, and you become more judgmental, and whatever flaws you have in your life, they start to rise up, and all of a sudden, if your insecurities start to come up, and then you start to have a bent towards your insecurities. See, you can get victory today, but you can lose your victory tomorrow. Because you got to stay in a place of prayer. Here's how God works. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. Write it down. God tells the children of Israel, I'm going to give you angel food. I'm going to give you food from heaven. And they called it manna. But what God says, here's what you got to do. You got to get the manna day by day. Manna is bread from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that came from heaven. The bread from heaven is the presence of God in your life today. See, how many of you have ever had a day of victory? I mean, you got into prayer and you felt the presence of God, and you could have been broken. It could have been powerful. You had a visitation with God. And then the next day, something happens and you're all in the flesh. No? Am I the only one? Come on, wave at me. Come on. Come on, you little flesh. Don't play it off, you little fake Pharisees. Come on, Nicodemus. Cut it out. We could see past you. Any Nicodemuses in the house? But think about what I'm saying. How is that? Because we gotta get our manna freshly every day. Now, I've never seen a demon. I've never seen the devil. Have you? And I'm not talking about somebody who got you mad. Oh, yeah, I've seen the devil. She's here right now. Oh, yeah, I've seen the devil. He may be here right now. If not, he might come in the second service. No. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You've never seen the enemy that you know is trying to destroy you. But you know he's real because you felt, you battled them. And prayer is so important, because sometimes you can't see the result of prayer when you first start praying. You gotta faith it in. See, prayer is the only divine link between the invisible and the visible. It's a divine connection. It's like, in other words, you pray for salvation for someone, or you pray for a healing, or you pray for a miracle, you pray for something to happen that you're believing God for. And then you don't realize it, but in the unseen realm, God is already moving. God's already working in it. There's a perfect illustration in the Bible that God gave us when God told Joshua to step across the Jordan at flood stage season. And it would have made more sense if he would have waited a few months till the Jordan River went down, or they could have walked across. But God said, "I want you to go now. Get up and go now, and send and the cloud is not going to guide you anymore. The fire is not going to guide you at night, or the, you know, no more. Now what you're going to do is the people are going to follow the ark. Send the priest with the ark first." Which symbolizes the presence of God. If you want to get to your promised land, you got to be a man or woman who's led by the Spirit of God. You got to be a man or woman who's sensitive to the voice of God. That only comes through prayer and spending time in the Word. That's what that symbolizes. But there's a more important thing, because when their feet got into the Jordan, they touched it. It was still flooding. It was they were probably scared because they had to go in there, and there's a big raging water. They barely had a. But what had happened was, down about 6.8 miles to 7 miles away, there was a place called Adam. And what God had did, and you've read it, come on, you Bible scholars, God had stopped the water over there. Why didn't God stop the water like he did with Moses when he parted the Red Sea? Because God is not just a repetitive God, and he doesn't just microwave his miracles. They're fresh to each and every one of us in our own special way. See, God cooks up your miracle fresh for you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how to challenge you. He knows exactly how to push the button so your faith will grow. He won't work how he did in Matilda's life. Yeah, how he did in Wilbur's life. He'll work in your life. He knows how to give you. He'll give you the miracle, but he might not do it how he did for him or her, because he's a personal God. He's a personal God. With Moses, he raised the staff and they parted, and everybody seen it. And they said, "Ooh, yeah." But this time they didn't see the miracle. God had stopped it, because he wanted them to step out by faith. It happened where they couldn't see. God had already moved. See, God's already moving when you pray. You just don't see it yet. And because he wants to see what you're going to speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The connection between the invisible and the visible realm is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the key. I've learned in my life, prayer is the key that unlocks the door to heaven. It unlocks the door to God's power, God's blessing, God's purpose. It unlocks the door to healing and breakthrough and change. Prayer is so powerful. Hezekiah prayed and God changed his mind. See, have you ever talked so much or so well that you change somebody's mind? For those of you that can sell ice cubes in Alaska and be rich, there's some people that are like that. Boy, you could talk your way out of, I mean, you got the gift of gab. I know people that got the gift of gab. They could sell ice cubes in Alaska. But with God, that don't work. What works is prayer. Everybody say prayer. Simple, but true. This is the most effective power, weapon of warfare that we have. There's so much power in prayer. You notice that anybody that's ever been effective in life, in our lifetimes or in the past or in the Bible, they were men and women of prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call out to me and I will answer you. Huh? And I'll show you great and mighty things you have not seen." See, that's what it says. He says, "Call out to me. Call out to me." I want to ask you a question, especially to the leadership of our church. And then in the second service, I'm going to challenge the ones that are not here but coming to the second. Do you know God's voice? Do you know God's voice? We know human voices, it's very easy. But to know God's voice, God wants you to know his voice. That's very important that you understand that, because the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you. He's calling you to have a time of personal, intimate fellowship with you, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. There's something that happens when we pray. It's like power, man. There's power when we pray. Power is the key to longevity. It's the key to staying power. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think some people struggle with prayer? Notice I said some people, not you guys. It's the people in the second service. Sometimes busyness, we get distracted. And the enemy, have you ever noticed that when you first try to pray, your mind races in 10 different directions? Oh, you left the iron on? Maybe you left the light on? Maybe this or that? You know how the distractions come when you first start getting into prayer? All of a sudden, all these kind of, unless you're in the home, you ain't going nowhere. Amen. Huh? We used to have the prayer watchers when I was in the home. The staff were called the prayer watchers. You know what that is? Not that they watched and prayed. They were making sure the guys weren't falling asleep. I knew a guy in the home. This is the gospel truth. This dude could fall asleep and still, because in the prayer, this is what I learned in the home. I used to see these guys, and they would pray, right? They would go like this. I'll give you an example. They'd cross their feet, and they would go. I knew a guy. His name was Gary. I'll never forget this guy. He was a character, and he's still around. He's still around in Victor Outreach. He woke up. Let's just say that. This guy had mastered the art of falling asleep and still being able to shake his leg like that. You know how I know? I was praying right next to him one time, and I heard him like snoring. And I looked, and his leg was still, his thing was still, he was still moving. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And the reason I know is because one time I pushed him. I pushed his shoulder, and he was like, huh, huh, huh. But his leg was still, I don't know how he did that. Because back then, if you fall asleep during prayer, you didn't get breakfast. That's what it was. Yeah, You had to go out to work assignment, no breakfast. And while everybody else was eating breakfast, you would have to go back into the prayer chapel and pray, and there would be a staff sitting there just watching you, eating his breakfast. Reasons why people don't pray, reasons why people struggle with prayer is because they get distracted. And they lose the hunger for prayer. They haven't developed the discipline of prayer. And then if you don't develop the discipline of prayer, you're never going to get to the next thing, which is the desire for prayer. You got to desire it. And then once you cultivate the desire where you want it, then it becomes a delight. I look forward to praying every morning. I look forward to putting my worship. Before I get distracted, the first thing I do is turn on my worship, right? I don't want to get distracted because, man, I got a distracted mind. I start thinking about all the things I got to do and people I got to call and emails and texts I got to return. You know, I lost my phone. Well, I shouldn't say I lost my phone, but something happened with my phone beyond my, and I got my phone back and I had 54 texts. So my mind goes and I'm saying, man, but that's why once I put on the worship, listen, church, listen, it's going to be simple, but it's kept me all these years, and it's the reason why God has blessed the work of my hands and blessed my life and blessed my ministry. And I've learned to just be simply a praying man. I put on worship before the devil or my own, sometimes it ain't even the devil, before I just get busy and get distracted. Once I start hearing the worship, it's like that delight, the desire, the delight of prayer. Oh, I just can't. And I hear a good worship song. Man, I can't wait to get a hold of God. Woo! I'm still in the shower singing to God. Hallelujah. Prayer produces things in our lives. Number one, it produces change. Anybody here need a change? Anybody here need less of self and more of Him? I've learned that it changes our desire. It gives us a desire to want to please Him and honor Him. It gives you wisdom for situations. Not only will prayer cause you to fall in love and stay in love with Jesus, but prayer gives you a heart after God and a love for other people. I've realized that prayer keeps you humble. I've seen the damage of pride. I've seen the damage of pride, people that get proud and they start thinking they're all that. And we need to stay humble and broken before God. Somebody say amen. See, the closer you get to God, the more you realize you're nothing. Yeah, right? Come on, somebody. Come on, just simple talk to me. This is a simple message, but live it. When I get in prayer, I realize that, man, my dependency is totally on God. I love 2 Chronicles 7:14. Everybody here knows it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and they will hear from heaven. I don't know about you, but I've come to a place after all these years, I need more of God in my life. Prayer not only does these things, but prayer also gives us direction. In Psalms 32, verses 6 through 10, I want you to look at that later on this week. Prayer gives you direction and guidance. It's our navigational system. See, prayer is your GPS system. Everybody uses that nowadays, whether you use it on your phone or use it in your car. I go places all the time. First thing I do is punch it in so I won't get lost, because I have a bad tendency to get lost. And my wife will say, turn right. And then I end up getting lost. I should have listened. Prayer is your spiritual GPS. Prayer will guide you. But if you ain't praying, you ain't going to be hearing. Prayer will keep you from leaning to your own understanding. How many of you know brothers and sisters that are notorious for Proverbs 3:5? Hello, home. Are you here? Huh? Always leaning to their own understanding. See, when you pray, you don't have to take matters in your own hands. God will guide it. God will guide you and lead you. Not only that, but prayer gives us strength. There's something that happens when you pray. The Bible says in Psalms 34:5, those that seek the Lord are radiant. They have a glow. They have the joy of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Something's different when you look at a woman that prays. Something's different when you look at a man that prays. You see like a glow on them, huh? Isn't it heavy how when people get saved, they come to church, all of a sudden they were once, well, I shouldn't say that, but they look beautiful, amen, they look handsome. Amen. Before you got saved, you looked like Shrek. All of a sudden you get saved, man, and all you're just glowing. People are like, man, you, wow, brother. Huh? Isaiah 56, verse 7 says, these will I bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes circumstances. There's anything I've ever seen. We're here in this building, and a lot of you sitting here should say amen. We're here as a result of praying it into existence. And when the enemy tried to stop us and fight us because of praying, we're sitting here, and people are getting saved. People are graduating from our homes. People are getting married. We're dedicating babies. We're doing the will of God because of prayer. Because of prayer. Because of prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful. It's like plugging into a power source. I was listening to my Pandora, my worship. And I had my, what do you call that thing? A boom, or that thing that picks up a Bluetooth, what do you call them? Huh? A speaker? Bluetooth speaker. Because I like to hear worship loud. And what happened was, I was outside listening to my worship early in the morning, right? And the birds are coughing because of the smog in Southern California. The sun hasn't come up and the moon was out. And I've had my worship on. Man, and I was like just enjoying God's presence. Anyway, I have my worship on loud, man. I like it loud because I pray loud. I start yelling, God, I bind
you, devil, you're a liar.
You know, I mean, I don't think, devil. I'm like, you're a liar, devil. I got the victory. I pray for the church, and I start praying for the leaders and the pastors and people in the church, and I start praying for my region and others. I just start, and I'm loud. I'm praying, and my worship is going. All of a sudden, whoo. And I'm like, lying devil. It wasn't the lying devil. The battery was going low. So I had to plug it in. Listen, watch, here's my point. I had to plug it into the power source. I have an extension cord outside wrapped around my grill. And I have the cord that goes to my Bluetooth speaker. And all I had to simply do was plug it into the power source. Huh? And as soon as I plugged in the power source, about 3 seconds later, boom! My worship went on loud again. Had nothing to do with the devil, but I had to plug into the power source. That's like you and me. We plug into the power source is prayer. It's not TV. It's not talking to somebody. It's prayer. It's your time alone with God. You got to have the power source every day of your life. That's spending time in prayer and the word. It's as simple as ABC, but a lot of times we don't do it because the enemy tries to distract us. I want to encourage you. You want the anointing of God. You want the blessing of God. You want the power of God. You want God to be pleased. You want to honor God with your life. Be a praying man. Be a praying woman. Spend time talking to God. Simple. Prayer sharpens us for warfare. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to take you to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. Turn there with me if you would. And we're going to get ready to close. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I told him to put a verse 6, but I'm going to read to you. Before we put a verse 6, I'm going to read to you from Job chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of Oz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God. He had a reverent love for God. And he shunned evil. He eschewed evil. He eschewed. That's the Hebrew word there. He avoided evil. He knew what his weakness and his struggle was. And he protected and guarded himself all the days of his life. He shunned evil. And then it says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. He was blessed. Somebody say he was blessed. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, watch this, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned. Wow, isn't that heavy? And they may have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Now, with that in mind, Job was a covering for his children and his family, like the way you and I have to be a covering for our family members and people we love. Now watch this, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Somebody say that, lying devil.
Lying devil.
Mm-hmm. Verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Isn't it heavy? And that Satan means the accuser. Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Peter says that the devil goes back and forth in the earth. He uses the same terminology. But there in Peter, he says, seeking who he can destroy. He says, I'm coming from back and forth in the earth. And then verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and avoids evil or shuns evil. Now, I want you to see this right here. Here it is. Here's our verse. Verse 9. Satan tells this to God. Watch this. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. But my point is, look what Satan says here. He says, you have put a hedge around him. You have put a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Oh, I know about Job. I've been watching. I've been looking for an opportunity to get to him. But I can't get to him. I can't get to him because you put a hedge about him. Now, what did Job do? Job was a covering for his children. Job feared God. That means he was a praying man. He worshiped God because he said he would do a sacrifice in the morning, which means to us what it symbolizes that first thing in the morning, he was a man of prayer. He worshiped God. He spent time with God. And when you do that, it puts a covering around your life. Satan said, I can't touch anything he has. I can't touch his house. I can't touch his wife. Can't touch his children. Can't touch his money. Because he's praying a hedge of protection around all he has. Prayer will keep you in the victory. It not only will give you the victory, but we'll see you 6 months from now still being victorious. We'll see you a year from now. We'll see you 5 years from now. We'll see you 10 years from now. Either doing the will of God here or taking a city somewhere, but you'll be doing the will of God. God's perfect will for your life. Not what you want, but what he wants. We'll see the blessing of God on your life. We watch people come in here all messed up, and because they learn how to pray and worship and get a hold of God, they're out in their destiny right now. Prayer is the key to the blessing and the edge of protection. Not how much knowledge you have. That doesn't impress the devil.
Well, I've been in the church for 18 years, devil.
Whoopee. He says, I've been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. See, prayer is the spear. He gets too close and you're like, take that, you little filthy animal. Sometimes your prayers are like this. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You're a liar. I command you to cease your activity in Jesus' name. And the demons have to flee. And the demons have to flee. And it keeps a hedge of protection around your life. For the sake of time, because I'm going to end right now. Daniel. Everybody here probably knows this, but if not, I'll reiterate it for you. Chapter 10, Daniel was fasting for 3 full weeks, 21 days he was seeking God. That's where we get the terminology of the Daniel fast. I call it the rabbit fast. And Daniel was at the river. And all of a sudden he had a visitation from the angel Gabriel. And there's something profound is said there. He said, Daniel, from the very first day, now notice 21 days had happened. Persistency in life, in prayer life, persistency, being consistent and persistent in your spirituality, your time, praying and reading. That's why it's so important to be faithful to a church. He said, from the first day that you set your heart to get understanding, the first day you set your heart to seek God, I was sent to you with words from God. But the prince of Persia, a demonic spirit reigning over that territory, a ruling spirit over that area of the world, he says, he held me up and I was battling with him. until Michael, God sent Michael, the warring angel, and Michael stayed there beating him senseless. Hello. He said, and I came to you. But then he says something profound. He says, I'm about to go back, and when I go back, I'm going to fight the prince of Persia, and the prince of Greece will come against you. He was warning him there would be another satanic attack against him. The key to that, the key to everything we'll ever face, every battle we'll ever, is prayer. Daniel was praying and fasting and seeking God, and the breakthrough came. It might not your answer to prayer, to whatever you're praying for, your miracle, your healing, whatever it is you need from God, it might not happen overnight, but if you remain faithful and be like God, call the things that be not as though they already were. Speak to your mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea. Mark 11, 23, 24, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe those things which you say, you believe those things that you pray, it shall surely come to pass. I have watched for 36 years. God performed miracles and God opened doors. It didn't always happen in my timing, but it happened. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And I know till the day I die, if I stay a praying man, God will be faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. It's God's nature. God cannot be unfaithful like you and I. God will be faithful. God will be faithful. God will be faithful. Let's stand. I've watched his faithfulness for all these years. And most of those years I've been in ministry, doing ministry, some type of full-time ministry. God has always been faithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're watching online, maybe you're here. You need to get closer to the Lord. Maybe there's someone here and you're not where you should be with God. Maybe you're watching online. I want you just to repeat this prayer. I want you to say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. With the blood you shed on that cross, wash away my sins. I surrender my life to you. I acknowledge you as the Lord and Savior of my life. With the blood you shed on that cross, wash away all my failures, all my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Come on, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, if you've been baptized in the Spirit, I want you to just begin to pray in the Spirit right now. It says, I'll pray it with my understanding, but I'll also pray in the Spirit. The heavenly language that the Holy Spirit gives us, that people nowadays don't even talk about it anymore, but it's so real. It's power in that. Oh, rakashamriya dara bobo shandiri kasato roba. Oh, rayan da la la ma. Lord, we love you. We love you. Lord, we love you. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. Raba bobo ya raba ba 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 ba. Oh, rayan da la la ma mondoro ya raba ma ma mondoro. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be more like you, Lord. Come on, begin to pour out your hearts to the Lord. Begin to say, I want to be more like you. I want to grow in my prayer life. I need more of you. Let's sing a worship song. Come on, just stay praying. Stay worshiping right there. Come on, just lift your hands. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with understanding. Come on. Say, Lord, it's you I need. It's you I need. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rayanda la la la.